Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This Monday marks our two-year anniversary in the DriveCast. So I just want you to know I appreciate the time and energy that you put in to your spiritual life that you invest via the DriveCast. So once again, just thanks for being with us. This past weekend, we continued in our Now Playing series, and at Lewis Center, we actually talked about the film Overcomer. And Overcomer is it's a film about a football coach who ends up having to coach cross country because of budget cuts due to the main source of income, a factory, being closed in a community. And so what ends up happening is that the film kind of pivots where this Anglo football coach who hates running ends up having to coach the cross country team that only has one participant, a young African-American female who can't even run without an inhaler. So you see the obvious plot twists there. But one of the things that the movie identifies is how God uses unusual circumstances to remind us that he has put us here to glorify him and impact other people. And so what I want to do today, because I'm actually going to be talking about this film Overcomer in parts, I really just want to talk about part one, just that part of Overcomer, because that reality that hit that coach is the same reality that hit the early church. The early church had to endure the crucifixion of the one they thought was the Messiah. And it was in that season, really, of mourning and grieving and questioning that God actually launched the church. So when you read the book of Acts, I mean, right at the beginning, Luke, the author, he was a doctor, right, in there, in terms of his profession in their world. It says in the first book, O Theophilus. And so you recognize that from Luke chapter 1, right, his gospel that he wrote. And you realize that maybe Theophilus is a real person, and maybe Theophilus is code for him. Theos is God. Philos is phileo, the Greek word for love. So maybe Luke is writing to a group of people, the God lovers, and he uses that term because of persecution that's going on. But either way, what you find is that Acts is really the Gospel of Luke part two. It's like the sequel to Luke. And what Acts does is it really describes the movement from Jesus for us to Jesus through us. And one of the interesting questions that Acts, the book, helps us understand is it gives us the answer to some of the things that Jesus said that just kind of leave us scratching our head sometimes. Things like Jesus says in John 14, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. And I just asked our church on Sunday, I said, who here has done something greater than Jesus? I don't know. Shockingly, no one raised their hand. I don't think any of us would say, man, I'm going to do something greater than Jesus. And yet he said we would. What does he mean by that? Well, I think the answer is when Jesus came to earth, he limited himself to one physical body and one physical location. But when he launched the church, all of a sudden now, God in the person of the Holy Spirit is working through all of us around the world. So the works that Jesus did now are not just limited to one person in one location, but now he's working through you, which really for our church this Sunday, I said, the thing that I want you to hear and understand and walk away with is this reality that you are the church. And there were two events really in the fourth century that really affected the church more than anything else in that century. The first one was 313 AD. Rome declared the church to be legal, and eventually it becomes the state religion, which kind of introduces the dangers of intertwining God and government to too great of a degree. But the second thing that happened was there was a new word that was introduced for church. When Jesus introduced the church in Matthew chapter 16, he used the word ecclesia. It meant an assembly or a group of people. And that's what the church was. It was an assembly. It was an intentional assembly of people who were going to gather together to glorify Christ. But eventually, in the third century, a new word comes along. It's the word kirche, which means house, or in Christian terminology, God's house. And so it was originally intended to be this unstoppable assembly of people became a building that people went to, and there started this competition to see who could build the most ornate kirche or house for God. And so we kind of went from being this infantry to push back darkness to this institution where people come to listen. And so when Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, I'm praying for us that we will be receptive for the power from God to be witnesses. So I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for you to have that. And then I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray that God would raise your awareness of the power that is in you to be a witness. Father, thank you that we have your word to rely on, that as the church, you have empowered us. The church is not just a place we go. It's the people that we are. And God, you are with us, in us, every minute of every hour of every day to be witnesses, Lord, to the world. And I pray, God, that you will help us be that today. Now I want to give you the opportunity to pray that very thing for your life personally. Once again, thanks for joining us for the DriveCast today. I'll just remind you that C3 weekend for middle school and high school students is coming up the first weekend in March across all four of our campuses. So I hope you'll take the opportunity to get your student registered up for that weekend. A friend of mine, Ryan Fontenot, is coming in from out of town to do the teaching that weekend. And I think God's going to do incredible things in the lives of our middle school and high school students. So you guys have a great day. Hope to see you back on the LifePoint DriveCast tomorrow.